We greet each one in Jesus' precious name this morning. A privilege to be in God's house. A comfortable house at that. Been some warm weather we've been having, and it's enjoyable to come in the house where it's cold. So I remember as a boy, we didn't have that privilege. We sat in church benches that often stuck to you as you stood up. And so it's something to be thankful for. You younger children might not ever remember sitting in a hot church and hot benches, smelling the honeysuckle coming through the windows. That was a nice part of it. But I just thought about how pleasant it is to meet in a house that's nice and cold. And we can worship here and really in pleasure. We really can. So we welcome each one of you to this service, and I hope we can learn something from God's Word this morning. It is Father's Day. We'd like to bring a message that leans that way, entitled The Message, Godly, Practical Fatherhood. Well, I often do think about it when we have a specified day like this, whether it's Mother's Day or Father's Day, how it seems like by the title that we're letting a lot of you out of the subject and not speaking to you. But this morning I would like us to remember that if you have any responsibility for children or interact with children in any way, I'm quite sure there's something we can learn from this morning's message. So I believe there's something for all of us, but it is more specified to fathers. Let's turn in our Bibles, first of all, to two passages of Scripture we'd like to look at in the beginning, and I don't know that we can necessarily call them our text, but it is some verses to get our minds thinking and go on and hopefully flesh up the message by some of these Scripture readings. Genesis chapter 8, and I think that actually was a verse that was in front of our bulletin this morning. Genesis chapter 18, 17 through 19. This is God speaking to, or the Bible speaking about Abraham, and the Lord said, it says there that God said this to him. But I'd like to just see what God said to Abraham. Genesis 18, verses 17, 18, and 19. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the way that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." A few things I see here, but one of the things I really like is that, the background, surrounding story is that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was a discussion here among the angels and the Lord. Said, "Shall we tell Abraham about what we're going to do or not?" And there's just a blessing that comes to me when I think of God, when he sees a righteous man, and when they consider whether or not they should tell this righteous father what's going on, they said, "Yeah, let's go ahead and tell him. He needs to know." And that is just so precious to me. And God still does that today. He still looks at fathers, he still looks at righteous fathers, and he says, we need to tell him this. He needs to know. Because the work of raising a family, the work of rearing children is hard. He needs to know. Let's tell him. Let's tell him what's going to happen. That's a blessing to me. But and the reason is because of Abraham was a man that God said is going to command his children after him. So we see a great responsibility that comes to fathers. Fathers are the central figure of the home, I believe, and central figure really of the propagation of children, one of the central figures, I should say. But we have this responsibility of rearing children and of commanding our children after us. So that's one verse, and thinking of the responsibility and what God is going to do for us, because we cannot perform this responsibility on our own. It is impossible for us. We must have God telling us, God talking to us, saying, "This is the way you should go, fathers." Turn now with me to 1 Kings, another striking passage, at least to me, when I think of the busyness of our lives and how this passage can be true in our experience, and it just makes me think, and it makes me consider, makes me ponder what I'm doing as a father. Am I fulfilling my responsibilities? This passage is not about fathers and sons or fathers and children necessarily. It is about a soldier that was given a captive to keep. But still, there's a great lesson to be learned here, one that startles me. It arrests my attention. And we do well to consider this. 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 39 and 40. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, "Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, 'Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver.' And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, 'So shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it.'" That just really arrests my attention as a father. As I was busy here and there. And I, for one, am busy here and there. And I think most of us fathers can say that. But I hope it's never true in the spiritual sense that as we are busy here and there, behold, he was gone. And so that just tells me, it just really grips me that the time that I have, that I use it properly, and that I incorporate my children to in a very definite and a very strong, very high percentage of my life, that I am responsible and that I have to answer. I have to give an account of how I am keeping this little man or this little girl. Above all else, I believe we are called to be godly fathers. And the world has great need. The church has great need of godly fathers. But that is our utmost calling, to be a godly father. To have a godly father is one of the greatest privileges in the whole world. Can you imagine? Maybe there's someone here this morning that does not have a godly father. I don't know all of you, but I know most of you. And I know that most of you have had a godly father. One of the most greatest privileges in the whole world. The topic of fatherhood starts in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Family life. Words like children, tribe, lineage, etc. are a very strong theme that courses through the Bible, and such words are found even in the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. It's a strong theme. Think about it, you know, as you read the Bible, how it talks about fathers and mothers and children and all of that. It's a strong theme. But fatherhood starts in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve having their first son, Cain, and then Abel, and then Seth. And because that's where the story of fatherhood starts, the topic. Our topic this morning centers on practical points that I believe are ground-level helps for fathers. I'm not going to dig too deep this morning, but think about practical things. I often try to get to the core of things and principles, and these are still more principled points, I suppose, but it's kind of where our feet hit the ground. And I'd like to just talk about that, because we need reminded of those things. Simple in a lot of ways, but I believe it's important. So there's three areas I'd like to consider this morning in the message. And number one, I'd like to consider thinking of ourselves, be wise with personal capital. Be wise with personal capital. Now, capital is something that when I think of capital, I think of what's in the checking account, what is there to be spent, what is there for the needs at hand. Capital. Be wise, fathers, with your personal capital. We all have capital. We must learn to wisely use our assets because all are limited. I don't know if you as a father have come to that conclusion yet or not, where you're down against and you realize that all is limited. Your time is limited. Your physical energies are limited. Your emotional stamina is limited. Your spiritual insights are limited. All is limited. All. I think probably the sooner we get to that point, the sooner we realize that point, the better off we are. We have a great God behind us. But when it comes to our personal assets, we must use them wisely because all are limited. When it comes to time, only 24 hours in a day. So we put in our 8 or 9 or 10 hours at work, whatever it is. We have our job. We're away from family. Most of us are away from our families during that time. And that can be unfortunate in itself. But that's most of us have jobs away from home. Our physical energy. Some of us have more energy than others. I don't know what happened to me, but in my late 20s, my energy ran away from me. I still can't figure that out. I don't know what happened. But I'm not the man I was even at 25, but it left me soon. And so I don't have the physical energies anymore that nearly as much as I used to. I used to do everything on the run. Everything. I ran here and I ran there. I did everything fast and quick and maybe furiously. I'm not sure, but I've really slowed down. Emotional stamina. I've reached the limit of my emotional stamina many times. We must learn to use wisely our assets because all are limited. All are limited. We need to know our own strengths and weaknesses. It's wise also to realize where our strengths are. We just talked about our weaknesses, but when we understand where our strengths and weaknesses are, we can call out to others, and especially call out to God. Say, God, I'm limited in all these areas. Please help me. But we can also reach out to brethren. We can reach out to our wives, to our wife, and to bolster us. So know our strengths and weaknesses. Choose wisely our pursuits of life, because not all are created equal. When we think about life, we have so many things that we can pursue. There's personal pursuits versus family pursuits. There's spiritual pursuits versus physical pursuits. There's physical versus emotional. Not all are created equal. And it is a discerning father that looks at his own life and knows where his weaknesses and strengths are, but he also looks at his family and his children. And he says, you know, now is the time that we need to do this, because that is what is necessary. Not all pursuits of life are created equal, and we know that the spiritual values are of utmost. Those are the ones, the spiritual values, we hold tightly. And as I think about utilizing our time and our emotional energies and our physical energies and dividing them out to where they need to be, you know, if we tend to be a person that, micromanager, and just everything needs managed, you know, sometimes in doing that, we'd be better off to let go of some of the things around the house, and whether the yard needs mowed just a certain way, or the weed trimming needs done this way, or the whatever, you know, all the household chores and all of that. You know, sometimes I find that in trying to micromanage all of that, I let something of greater importance slip out. And this is because all is limited within me. In other words, I only have so much energy, and it is important that I, as a father, see that I hold tightly to the spiritual values that must be instilled or installed, whatever, into my offspring, into my home. Sometimes it's better to let go of some of these grass mowing issues, or I'm just saying grass mowing, just whatever. The mundane chores. Hold tightly to the spiritual, and maybe not so tightly to what Dad wants exactly right around the house or in the barn. Now, just say that for what it's worth. Sometimes we can do that without even thinking. All of a sudden, when it comes to this spiritual issue that our son or our daughter is going through, and we see the current path or some current choices that really need attention by us as a father, but you know what? I'm wore out. Because I was micromanaging all these things out here. I just say that for a warning to us as fathers. Hold on to those spiritual values. There is where our time, for sure, our energies and our emotional stamina, there must be enough there for that. Make sure those things are taken care of. Maybe some of the other ones can be let go. Think about that. So we must choose wisely these pursuits of life. There's personal interests. Yes, you know as well as I do that we have 8 children, and just not a lot of time for personal interests. Doesn't seem that way. And it's a good growing experience for a father to as he marries as a young man, and you know, he's still about 7/8 of him is a youth, and maybe 1/8 is not, but he's used to this personal time. Whatever it is, whatever your interests are, there's some personal time that it just is a part of life. It just is. And somehow, as the years roll on, it seems like that the personal time somehow it's no longer is a part of life. And we there's a lot of times we have to be okay with that, as the demands and the responsibilities fall on us. Probably soon enough, some of that personal time might come back, and it might be a little lonely then. We kind of wish for that busyness in a different way, probably, than when we're facing it now. But let's think about that. But as the family grows, and as its responsibilities add to us, choose wisely our pursuits of life. Not all are created equal. The personal time can kind of slough away, and we put energies into family time, family life. Spiritual versus physical. There's times when it would be really nice to do something different than go to church. But you know what? We're instilling values into our children and into ourselves, really. And we need not only values, but the blessings we receive by attending are tremendous. Physical versus emotional. There's times that we look at a situation and we think there's physical needs, perhaps. Maybe the child is upset. Maybe the obedience is lacking. And we have to be wise in discerning whether it's a physical problem or an emotional problem. Is it just strictly disobedient, or is there something going on here? Is the child sick? It's all of those things. As we think about... let's go on to the next point. We need to choose wisely our pursuits, because in family life, the deficit often shifts. Deficit means the lack. Choose wisely our pursuits, because in family life, the deficit often shifts. And when I use the word pursuit, I'm thinking of points of home life, or points of our children that need attention. As we go through life, there's times that there'll be the time when the two-year-old just really, really needs a lot of discipline. They're going through that change or whatever, and they said the terrible twos or whatever. But there's just a lot of attention is being poured into that youngster, where again it's taking from our time, it's taking our physical energies, it's taking our emotional energies, and a large percentage of us is being poured into this two-year-old, because that's where the deficit is. And that's right. But then we have to remember that in 3 months or in 6 months or wherever, somewhere, that deficit is going to shift. And all of a sudden we have a 14-year-old or a 10-year-old that's having problems in school. And whether it's problems with his friends or not his friends or untrue friends, whatever it is. But the deficit shifts. All of a sudden, here's where the need is. And so then we pour our energies and our emotion. It kind of pulls back some, maybe. The two-year-old, we kind of got through that. But it shifts now to the 10-year-old. And we help him through his issues at school, whether it's doing the lessons or, like we mentioned, his friends. Choose wisely our pursuits, because in family life, the deficit or the lack often shifts. And we have to be aware of that as fathers, as we maybe relax on one a little to put energies into another. Because again, all are limited. All my assets, all my capital is limited. I believe God gives us strength to do all that He asks us, all that He brings into our family life. I believe He gives us that. But still, we have to be aware of that shift in the deficit. And then there's the teenage years. And so sometimes it shifts from the two-year-old to the 16-year-old. And our energies and our emotional stamina and our time is more poured here, because we see that there's a need there. There's a deficit there. And so there's a shift. Fathers, beware that shift. Be aware that we don't just get so caught up in the current deficit, the current lack of the day, that we forget that there's Johnny and Mary and Robert and all these other, and that can happen as a father. And all of a sudden, what waking up? What happened here? Be aware of that. That it shifts. Be wise. Second area is be wise in understanding the foundational needs in home life. There's foundational needs to the human race. Probably the same in us as fathers as in our children. And the first one we like to look at is the home needs spiritual guidance. Beware of that foundational need. We touched on that, but here is our children. Our children are not going to just by default find God. They are not going to by default find God, or default means, in my own definition, kind of by accident. Or not, that isn't exactly the definition of default, but it will happen. It will happen because it's destined to happen. That's not true. That's not true. Our homes need spiritual guidance. This is a foundational need in all of our homes, in all of our children. Yes, we believe that they come into our homes and there is a time of innocence. There's a time where they do not know right from wrong. There's a time that God calls them, and then that is the choice to choose Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But in the years previous to that, these children that God has given us are bent to do evil. They're bent to do wrong. You hold that newborn baby in your arms, just minutes old, and you know there's going to be a terrible war that's going to rage in that little heart. At some point, whether it's going to choose God or his own will. Never forget that. Yes, they're so sweet. They're so great. But they're bent to do evil. So the home needs spiritual guidance. That is is a foundational need. How are we going to do that? I believe there needs to be father to child instruction. Father to child. And that can be through family worship, through singing songs. Can be children's songs. As they grow older, can be more grown-up songs, songs from your hymn book, whatever it is. Reading of the word. Father to child instruction. And there should be, I think, also personal instruction from the father to child, depending on the age. Issues of purity, issues of, there's times and places for fathers to instruct that child in the ways of God on one-to-one. Because why? Because there's a foundational need of spiritual guidance in every child. It can be as far as giving this home spiritual guidance, our homes. It can be Sunday school and church attendance. And that is a part of, that should always be a part of how our home is going to receive the instruction that it needs. But I'd like to somehow put in here, and I don't know what word to use, whether it's the word caution or whether it's the word make us aware, that the church and Sunday school will never save your child. Can I say that? And I'm saying that so that we understand, are aware as fathers, of the great responsibility that we have personally. Now, church and Sunday school should always be a part of that home structure, and that and what is poured into our children's life and into our life. It's a huge part of it. But I sometimes fear that we as fathers are kind of saying, well, our child, and I probably said this before here, but we send our children to Christian Day schools, we take them to Winter Bible School, we take them to Sunday morning services I don't know that we've ever missed. They go to Sunday school, they have Christian teachers. I mean, really, it's set up. It's set up. I mean, the whole church structure around me is going to take care of this issue of spiritual guidance for my family. Now, we probably wouldn't think of it in so many words, and it may be exactly in those terms and say it. But is that the way I'm living? I'm asking us as fathers, it is our responsibility as leaders in the home to remember this foundational need falls largely on us as fathers to give that instruction. And again, don't get me wrong, it's the Sunday school and church and all of that, the larger spiritual guidance must be a part of our home life. But let's not lean on that so hard that we reject, or that isn't the word I want either, but that we miss doing and fulfilling our own responsibility. I think the third area that our home needs spiritual guidance is we need to prompt young Christians about their personal devotion to God. And I just like to encourage us as fathers too. You have young Christians in your home. They came to Jesus Christ. Maybe they're in instruction class. Maybe they're already baptized. Maybe they're older teenagers. Maybe they're unmarried in early 20s, whatever. If they're under your roof and they're Christian, we should be prompting them and asking them about their personal devotion to God. Are you reading the Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Well, we have this responsibility, fathers. You know, we often do this as preachers. If there's a young man or young woman struggling spiritual life, we sit down and how's your devotional life? And that's good, but it's not just the preacher's job. This is dad's job. This is father's job. Where are you reading now? And in all of this, I don't want you to think that I have all these bases covered and everything on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, I have all the 10s checked. Okay? I have work to do. I want to encourage us, though. There's lots of work as dads. And again, we go back to this thing of that all our assets are limited. Let's take that time to ask those questions. Let's take the emotional energy it takes to sit down with son. Or are you intimidated by your son? Is it hard to talk about those things? Well, it is. It is. Is it hard to ask him about his personal purity? Well, it is. But do it. But do it. Prompt the young Christians about their personal devotion to God. Be wise in understanding the foundational needs in home life. We're still on part two. The second point we'd like to look at is the home needs security. It's another foundational need in home life. The home needs security. And I think in this, I'm mostly thinking of emotional security. There's homes that are lacking. You see it in children different times as you travel, probably mostly in the world, as in society around us. But children are not secure. They're insecure. And an insecure child is a... what's the word I want? Often a disobedient child. A child that acts in ways that they should not. It's often the result of being insecure. Our home needs security. How do we teach security? Or how do we give our children, how do we give our home security? Well, number one, loving acceptance of every child. We go back into the scripture in Genesis. We have the story of Isaac and Rebekah. And it says there very plainly that Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And you know, you remember all the struggles that home had. And Jacob and Esau, Jacob tricked Esau, and there's just a lot of problems. Esau really wanted to kill Jacob by all appearances, so he finally left, lived away from home. So, as fathers, loving acceptance of every child. This gives emotional security. It's a child that is loved and accepted. It doesn't mean that we put up with all the wrong things that they do. No, but they're loved. They're loved and accepted. There's no favoritism there. We must be very careful of that. Loving acceptance, I believe, includes communication. And I know some fathers talk more than other fathers. And I'm not necessarily talking about talking in communication, although that's a part of it. Every father should be talking to their children, some kind of verbal communication. But there's just tens of ways to communicate to our children. It can be that pat on the back. It can be that little squeeze in the shoulder. It can be that. There's just ways to communicate that, you know what? I'm loved and I'm accepted. It don't even have to be by word. It don't have to be even I love you. But I think that should come. It can be that squeeze. Giving them praise for what they have accomplished. Something done well. I was just recently, this is not a father and son, but this can happen as fathers. But recently I was in a livestock auction, and if some of you might know the owner in there, he said, tends to be an impulsive, kind of a rash, rough man. And a worker did something wrong. I was on the catwalk and he was down below, and he used bad language and just really tore into loud, explosive, boom, rah, rah. Just kind of grabbed the guy, and the man, kind of, you could see, kind of melted together. And then it wasn't just a couple minutes, and the boss, and he came over, he put his arm around his shoulder, real quietly. I could see him. He apologized to him, but
apologizing so quiet nobody could hear what he was saying. But he chewed him out publicly, loudly, explosively. But when it comes to the apology and when to the, he was there smiling. He said, "It's all right." He said, "It's all right." You know, he did it. But real quiet. But see, that can be you and I as fathers. Kind of jump on this thing and then, you know, in the quiet, in behind closed doors and stuff. Hey, you know, son, hey, I'm sorry about what I said in front of all your friends. And, you know, I kind of embarrassed you probably, but you're great. You're fine. I mean, I shouldn't have done that. Wait. He should have apologized. That boss down there should have apologized as loud and explosively as he, that's kind of what I think anyway, would have done something for the child. But he communicated something in that. He communicated that boss communicated that I can embarrass you publicly, but when I'm going to save face, I'm going to save my own face. When I come to apology, I'm going to kind of do this thing on the quiet, on the sneak. He communicated something, and we will communicate something to our children if that's the way we are. And many other things that we could talk about like that. The home needs security. How do we give the home security? Harmonious relationships between parents. Again, if mom and dad, husband and wife, are not getting along, if there's arguing and bickering and ill will in the home in between husband and wife, children are going to be insecure. They're going to be insecure. And this bleeds out in society. It's part of the reason that children act like they do in the Walmart and in all the stores that where you are and you see these things going on. Because their life is torn apart. They're not secure. So it is just a call to a harmonious relationship. And I don't mean pulling and making sure that that when you do argue and disagree and fight, that you're somewhere where the children don't hear. I don't mean that. Get it right. Get it right. Get rid of it. Harmonious relationship. Not fake. Not hiding the fight. But harmonious relationships. Because even if you hide the fight, if you hide that, the children are going to pick up on it. There's going to be things that just bleed through and they will be insecure. The home needs security. Thirdly, the home needs security is, I believe, we give it by having a structured home life. Now, I know this varies in homes, and our homes don't have to be exactly alike. There's not necessarily one pattern when it comes to structure. Not exactly one pattern that all homes have to fall into. You don't all need to have supper at 5 o'clock, or it doesn't. But I'm saying there should be some structure to your home life. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." I think structured home life brings security to children. They know what to expect. They know what to expect. They know when this is going to happen and how it's going to happen. And it's just, there's a structure to things. Things are done in particular ways. And I know that can be probably overdone too. Where anything that's a little, just a hairline off, you know, things fall apart. We don't want that. But there's something about structure that I believe brings security to children. Fourthly, how do we bring security to home life? Loving discipline for wrongdoing. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." A child doesn't know it. Young children don't know it. Probably even teenagers don't know it. But loving discipline brings security. I mean, you might be 18 years old and you don't know it. But it's true. It's true. It brings security. Loving discipline brings security to that 2-year-old. Brings security to the 3 and the 4 and the 5 years old. Whole way up through, it brings security. But it must be loving discipline. And children need that security that loving discipline brings. The third area in bringing rest or bringing the home security is the need for physical rest. And for physical rest, it simply means sleep. Sleep. I have said already that half the work of child training is done by everyone getting enough sleep. And I see that from both sides. In other words, when dad and mom have enough sleep, I'll just be frank, we're not as grouchy. Things won't look so big. We won't tend to overreact. We won't be tempted as much to overreact. When the children have enough sleep, they're not as grouchy. They won't tend to overreact. There's just a lot of problems solved by everyone getting enough sleep. Now, why would I even say this across the pulpit? Well, this brings security to home when there's not that stress level because everyone's tired and everyone's, you know, to the edge. And it takes discipline to get enough sleep. It really does. And I don't know if you've been reading this, but I've read recently, I'll say it this way, I've read that currently the Surgeon General considers the lack of sleep a first-rate epidemic that is as dangerous to American health as smoking tobacco was in the 1900s. And the government is working on making the American public aware of this abuse. I don't know if any of you have been reading that. They are saying, I just read an article recently, I think it was a Reader's Digest, they're saying that the smoking era of probably the 50s, 60s, and 70s, when it was really, really heavy, and the Surgeon General became aware of this epidemic, how bad it was for the health, the risk of cancer. That you've seen billboards that advertise smoking, but they made the law that had to be on there that smoking increases the risk of cancer or anyway diseases. You know that they're planning, or as I understand it, getting ready to start putting these messages of sleep out there in the same manner. That not getting enough sleep greatly increases your chances of your risk of all of these diseases. I don't know if you're aware of that. Now, I'm just bringing that in for what it's worth, but in saying that our homes need the security that enough rest brings. And I know you go to Proverbs and talks about too much sleep. But right now, as I view even our churches and even society, I think it's probably the other way right now. For children, it is advised that they get at least 8 to 9 hours of sleep, if I remember correctly. And us as parents probably don't need quite as much, but still. If we feel snappy and all of those things, well, you check to see if there's a spiritual issue there. But sometimes, we just need sleep. I think it brings, again, rest and security to the home. I'll just say that for what it's worth. And maybe some of you don't agree with me, and that's okay. But I want to say it for what it's worth, because I do actually believe it. The third area is be wise in practical leadership. Fathers, be wise in practical leadership. And there's just a few words I'd like to go down through in helping us to find where we are to be as fathers. Number one, be devout. Devout. As opposed to militant or passive. Try to pick a word of where we are to be as fathers. Devout. The word militant means combatant or fighting, more of a fighter type. In other words, there's more than one way to lead as a father. The Bible says, be not lords over God's heritage, where a lord is more that combatant type, let's fight for what we want. Now, there's a part of our spiritual life that we do wage a spiritual warfare. But as I think about dealing with human beings, the world looks up to the combatant type. The world looks up to the fighting leader. The world looks up to that aggressiveness and that aggression, that's militant. But as fathers, we're to be devout. Devout. That means the foundation of our belief, the foundation of our action is rested on God's word, and we devoutly, devotedly, there we stand. And when it comes into practical life, it's like this. Son, daughter, because of the Bible and what our church stands for, here's what we're going to do. Because of what the Bible says, we're devout. We don't slash and bash to get to where we want, but neither are we passive and say, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm not sure. Instead of militant or passive, be devout. Number two, be a coach. As opposed to an army sergeant or a student. A coach is one that encourages, that he's working alongside, that he says, we can do this. Child, son, daughter, we can do this. You can do it. You have what it takes. A coach, he encourages. I'm here with you. Let's change this so that we can reach our goal. A coach.
instead of an army sergeant. I've only read stories about army sergeants, but it's pretty rough. Pretty rough. Loud, angry, in the face, army sergeant. And again, the student is the one who says, well, I kind of fall under my children. I mean, if they don't like it after all, what am I going to do? But the coach is there to coach them on. We can do this. Number three, be merciful. As opposed to heartless or indulgent. I think sometimes we as fathers can be kind of heartless. Not having compassion, but be merciful. Indulgent again is just kind of falling under the wave. Not just giving in, caving in, but be merciful. That means we give thoughtful consideration and we understand compassion of Jesus. Jesus looked on the multitude and he had compassion on them, the Bible says. Fourthly, be alert as opposed to suspicious or dull. There's something about being alert with eyes open, ears open. We have a kind of a running tally of what's going on. And I know this can be bad for me. I'm busy and I'm thinking, especially I'm studying a sermon, and the whole world just disappears. Family life just kind of, you just hear a little garble once in a while, but you don't know what anyone's saying. Everything disappears. But we need to be alert. But the other side of it is to be suspicious. And I think a suspicious father brings out the absolute worst in his children that can possibly happen. Peeking around corners and I don't know if I should use the word snooping. There should be somehow an openness, an alertness and an openness that promotes an openness between father, son, father, daughter, but not suspicion. Suspicion kills relationships, I believe, but not dull, as when I'm studying a sermon. Fifthly, be a protector. As opposed, I'm not sure what word to use there, as opposed to a predator. Predator is a pretty bad word, but I still think it's worth saying. Be a protector as opposed to a predator or a coward. A protector. Physical protection, emotional protection, spiritual protection. We're protector. We're going to stand up. We're going to take the blow. We will take the blow. And I don't mean standing in the way of the school teacher. That's not that realm of thinking at all. I'm thinking about dangerous things. Things that are whether physically dangerous, whether something emotionally dangerous. We are the protector. We will take the blow. Because why? Because I am their father. And we will be their protector. I will take the blow. And so maybe our child gets in trouble because of something I allow. Now we should be the father standing up and say, Hey, I'm sorry, I'm their dad. I told them they could do that. And I'm sorry it was against the rule, it was against the church, it was whatever. But hey, I'll take the blow because I'm the one really that allowed this to happen. And I know they had their part, but I'm the dad. Give me the blow. The coward kind of hides behind all of that and says, hey, take what's coming. When really it was the dad's responsibility and the dad's decision to let this thing go through and say, hey, you got yourself in a lot of trouble. Let's be men. Let's be that protector that we're supposed to be. I think also of being that protector, you know, it's easy for us as fathers maybe to be that lord or that the person that benefits from all these subjects that we have. And everything kind of comes our way. Down to the kind of ice cream that we eat, down to all of those things that I, as lord of the house, everything's got to be this way. We need to be really careful about that. That, to me, shows a father that is selfish and is more of a lordship type of thing. And he benefits from all these subjects. And I believe in keeping children busy, keeping them working, and having chores for them. I don't mean that. But it was the thing when we switch to a mindset that this is my little kingdom. I have all these little servants that do all my bidding and make my life a life of ease and merriment. I think we have problems there. So just some warnings in there. Well, God bless us as we endeavor to be that godly, practical father. And I hope that our little talk this morning has encouraged us to hold the line where God wants us to hold it and keep our feet on the ground and at the same time ask God for all the help that he can give us because we need it. Shall we pray?